And Closer Look continues from WABE in Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott. It was just 3 months ago, May 2023, when the federal public health emergency for COVID-19 came to an end. And as of now, Georgia has sustained more than 2.3 million confirmed cases and close to 36,000 deaths since the start of all of this. And in recent weeks, a fast-spreading subvariant has developed, causing COVID cases and hospitalizations to increase. Now, the most recent weekly data from the State Health Department reveals about 17 additional COVID deaths here in Georgia and nearly 2,500 confirmed cases. And while the national average for COVID hospitalizations has risen by 16% in recent weeks, the CDC reports hospitalizations in Georgia have also increased by 63%. So to give a full understanding of what's called now the EG5 strain of the coronavirus, I want to welcome Dr. Nirav Shah, the CDC's Principal Deputy Director.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me, Rose.
I want to go back because I was researching this 3 years ago this week, and it was revealed by you all that COVID-19 became the third leading cause of death in the U.S. Deaths from COVID-19 at that time, look, were exceeding 1,000 per day, and nationwide cases exceeded 5.4 million. And when you think back to that time, obviously you were in Maine, so what do you make of all that, where we are now?
Well, those statistics are sobering, and our hearts go out to every single person, family, and community that was affected by COVID-19. All of us know somebody. And you're right. You said a moment ago that even though the public health emergency has ended, COVID-19 has not. Indeed, as we're seeing just from the most recent data, COVID continues to be with us and will continue to be with us.
And I want you to look through your lens for a moment, not just as in a leadership role at the CDC, but as a health official here. Is it the messaging? Have we gotten too lax? When I say we, the United States, gotten a little bit too lax with the messaging leading up to this, or because it appeared, hey, we weren't having that many cases, many deaths, but we all were told about the possibility of new subvariants. How would you assess the messaging here?
Well, communicating about risk is really difficult. And when things are looking better, getting people prepared for the possibility that they may not always look that way, it's a challenge. But right now, as we're seeing an uptick in cases, now is a great time to take stock of where we are and plan for the possibility that things might get worse. For example, I want everyone to make sure that they are stocked up on tests, mm-hmm. that they're getting ready to get a new booster in the fall, that they're getting ready to get their kids vaccinated for all the other diseases that mm-hmm. that are out there as we get kids back in school.
You were in a leadership position in Maine, and you were just newly appointed here and earlier this year. What have you taken from that time in Maine that you think you can apply to this new position with the CDC?
There are two lessons from my time in Maine and then previously in Illinois before that I'm carrying forward. Number one is the belief that we can do hard things if we all band together for a common cause and a common mission. The second is that communication matters. Clear, consistent, timely communication is the key to making sure that all of us are rowing in the same direction. We did those things in Maine. I'm looking forward to doing them here.
You're now with the CDC, but are you willing to admit or highlight or profile there might have been some missteps? It was different administration, different leadership too. But what can you hope the CDC learns from maybe some missteps?
There certainly were. I mean, no response can ever be perfect. And the key is, have we identified that which went wrong? And have we put mechanisms into place to do better? I believe at the CDC, we have, particularly on the communications front. I'm here with you today to talk about where we stand with respect to COVID, to prepare folks for the fact that it might get more significant, and to take steps to be ready for that. That communication piece is going to be clear.
What about in terms of with different, states were given the option of how they wanted to handle this. There was no direct mandate for some things coming from the CDC. How would you assess, does that need to change at all?
Historically, public health in the United States has been managed at the state level, even at the local level. To put it differently, we don't have a national public health system. We have a nationwide public health system that really is managed and led by states with direction, assistance, funding by the CDC. That dynamic is one that really provides a lot of flexibility because no pandemic unfolds the same way in every corner of the country.
How do you do that when different states are led by one or two of the major political parties here, And because for some folks, they said, look, this is becoming more about politics and not people. You don't want to be in the politics game. You want to be in the health and wellness for its people. How do you suggest navigating through all of that?
The principle at the CDC is that we lead with what we believe is most scientifically valid, scientifically up to date. You're right. Different elected leaders will make different political choices. That is their purview. What we best can do is equip them with the data and the science to illuminate the trade-offs. So long as we start and end our discussions with what the science suggests, we believe we're on the right footing.
Well, that being the case, what does the science suggest about this latest subvariant?
You know, there will always continue to be new variants of COVID-19, much in the same way that there are every year new variants with the flu. Mm-hmm. The question is, what does it mean for us? Well, this newest variant, this EG.5 variant, is part of the same family of variants that we've been seeing for many months now. In fact, the new vaccine that's going to be coming out in mid to late September is built on this family of variants. So we expect that the newest vaccine will continue to be very effective, even against this newest variant.
We're going to talk more about that in a moment, but I'm also curious in terms of the level of concern that you all have, because we're seeing an uptick in COVID cases before that usual rise as we prepare to the cold weather season. Is that concerning for you all?
COVID remains a risk. My advice to everyone is not to panic, but to prepare. Make sure you're ready to get the new booster when it comes out. Make sure you've talked to your doctor about getting Paxlovid, which is a drug that's really effective, but you got to get it early after you have COVID. And make sure you stock up on tests so you can use one.
So let's back up, because you said you got to make sure you get it after you've had COVID. Now, we've got all these different groups of people, those who have had COVID, perhaps those who haven't, those who've had COVID only had this vaccination, maybe not the booster, those who haven't. So it's a lot here. So let's back up. So what are you all recommending for folks who've just maybe had the first vaccine and not the booster? Get this one, or get the original booster? Or can they get this that will take care of all of this? I'm trying to put it like folks are listening, because I got questions, man.
I do the same thing. You know, I talk to my mom at night, and she's like, wait a minute, do I go today? Do I go in September?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Here's what I want folks to do. First and foremost, I want you to be prepared. Mm-hmm. So this drug I mentioned, Paxlovid, it's a really great drug that's effective against COVID-19.
Okay, so stop right there. Mm-hmm. This is the booster, or
This is a drug that you take after get COVID.
Okay, right.
And what I want folks to
do— But what if you
do,
haven't had COVID?
If you don't have COVID, what I want you to do is, number one, make sure you're stocked up on tests. And then number two, if you haven't had the COVID booster yet, make sure you're ready to get that when it comes out in September.
Okay. Just so we're clear, I've got three emails here. Mm-hmm. If you have had COVID, you're recommending to get that drug.
That's right. When you get COVID in the future.
Okay.
Yep.
If you've already been vaccinated and boosted, you want folks, when this new drug comes out, to get that.
That's correct. There's a new vaccine
that's
coming out in mid to late September that I want folks to get when it's out.
Will there be several different makers like before, where we had Moderna and Pfizer and all that, or was it just be one?
There's going to be two. There's going to be Moderna and Pfizer. There might be a third that's in the works, but the names that you know and trust, Moderna and Pfizer, will be coming up with a new vaccine for the latest family of variants in mid to late September.
I have a listener who says, Rose, this is all still very confusing. Please go over it again.
Okay.
You can understand
Let's
it,
go
right?
over it again.
All right.
Let's start with the vaccines. Mm-hmm. If you got your COVID shot a year, two, 3 years ago, there's a new one coming out probably in mid to late September, and I want everyone to be ready to get that.
This is like a booster?
It's a booster. It's an updated shot.
If you've had the first vaccine, and then you got the booster for the first one.
No matter what you got before,
you want folks to get this.
I want you to get the one that's coming out in mid to late September. Right. No matter if you had COVID, you didn't have it.
And if you have not got any of the vaccinations, but now you're like, you know what? I'm going to get one. Which
Great.
One do they get?
I want you to get this newest shot. It's all going to be the same shot. If you haven't had the shot before, but you finally, someone convinced you to get it, great. September is the time to get this newest one. So that's the vaccines.
Gotcha.
Second, tests. Mm-hmm. The tests that we've got, those rapid tests that you can buy at the pharmacy, they still work. They're still available. I'm asking folks to stock up on those. have one at home in your medicine cabinet so you can use it when you get sick rather than driving around the city looking for one after you get sick.
And you know how this back and forth with us was a little confusing, so I can imagine how you all are trying to, at the CDC, trying to get this message out so it is not confusing to people. What are y'all going to do? What have you been doing?
We're doing conversations like this just to make sure that everyone has all the facts. We're going to be updating our website to make it as clear as possible. But the things that folks have gotten used to so far are still the ones that matter. Getting vaccinated, having tests on hand, talking to your doctor.
I have a question from someone who's asking about masks. You think that if folks are still have some concerns when they're going to be in public areas, will you start wearing masks? I mean, these are, you know, optional, not mandates, but...
Yes. Yeah, masks continue to work. If you're someone who has a lot of medical conditions, wearing a mask is a good idea. If you're going to be visiting, say, your elderly parents, before you go, wear a mask.
We know that the World Health Organization, in terms of a global standpoint, is the leader in all this. How much communication do you all still have with them? And do you follow their guidance at all? Because we're still in a pandemic, technically.
Well, actually, both the United States government as well as the World Health Organization have scaled back on the emergency phase.
Okay.
We work very closely with the World Health Organization. Our experts and our scientists are on the phone with them numerous times throughout the day to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Dr. Mandy Cohen is within her starting month as a new director of the CDC. What can you tell us about in terms of her leadership and what she said to you all in terms of how she sees it moving this agency forward? And admit there are some who have been criticized, members of Congress, depending on who you ask, you've got some criticisms. But in terms of her leadership, she just got here. What are you most optimistic about here?
We're very excited for Dr. Cohen's arrival. She's set forth a number of areas of focus, including making sure that we are ready for this potential fall and winter respiratory season. But she also wants to make sure we're focused on things like behavioral health, the opioid crisis, which has not gone away, and making sure our youngest families have all the support they need to thrive.
You know, when I was doing that research where we were, you know, 3 years ago to this week, but also something that was being reported by you all was mental health cases. There was an uptick, and unfortunately and tragically, there were up in folks who were dying by suicide because of all the mental stress related with all of this. How important is that for you all to continue to drive home the messaging about mental health resources and what states need on a local level?
It's critical. You're absolutely right. Unfortunately, CDC released some recent data suggesting that risks like suicide continue to be with us. As tragic as those stories are, help is available. And our message there is that if you are struggling, please reach out and talk to somebody and get help.
I have a listener who wants to know, what is the likelihood of being reinfected with the virus?
Reinfections remain a risk. They are a possibility, even if you had COVID before and even if you've been vaccinated. That's because the virus continues to change. The best things that you can do to prevent yourself from getting reinfected are getting that updated vaccine when it comes out sometime in mid to late September.
And doctor, again, there are some communities who are highly at risk here. Those are folks that might have some pre-existing conditions. It's the same as it was when all this started. Folks that may have some type of respiratory, folks that might have diabetes, I remember reading about that.
Folks who are, you're absolutely right. Everyone is affected by COVID a little bit differently. And so if you are one of those folks who has a lot of medical conditions, maybe you're older, some of the advice we've been talking about is even more important for you. Mm-hmm. But it's not just those folks. It's folks who interact with people that are at higher risk. So if you work in a nursing home, or if you're regularly visiting elderly parents, I want you to make sure you're taking precautions.
And folks should know, because you've been doing this for a long time, so you're definitely an expert in this area. And I want to get your thoughts on what we're seeing now in terms of long COVID and what we can expect maybe in terms of treatment and what life might be like for folks down the road here.
Long COVID is a challenge. And every day we learn more about what's causing it and what we can do about it. There's a lot of research underway, including by scientists at CDC and NIH, to understand it. Here's the key thing that we know. By getting vaccinated and by taking treatments, if you get COVID, your chances of long COVID go down significantly. Yet another reason why, if you're worried about long COVID, one of the best things you can do is make sure you're vaccinated.
And we started this conversation talking about your leadership role in Maine and now here with the CDC. What do you hope to bring to the agency?
My hope is that a lot of the new leaders that have come into the agency can bring new life, new vigor into the work we do, and really zero in on making sure our communications message is as clear and timely as it possibly can be. Ultimately, our goal is to keep people safe and keep people healthy.
I have a listener who says, Rose, can we get the flu shot and this booster at the same time?
Yes.
That's your answer, yes?
Yes, indeed. You can and should.
Do we know anything about this year's influenza strain at all?
Yes, we track influenza strains that come out of the southern hemisphere as they work their way north. It's too early to tell whether this year's strains will be harsher clinically or, we usually get those data as the season starts, but there will be a flu shot and I really want everyone to get it. And you can get it at the same time that you can get your COVID booster. That's what I plan to do. That's what I've recommended my mom do.
And then your mom listens to you, I take it.
She does. She does. Hi, Mom.
She listening?
She probably is. Yeah, yeah. Now, there's one other thing for folks in my mom's age category. Mm-hmm. This is the first year where we have another new vaccine for another disease that's called RSV. Mm-hmm. That lands a lot of folks in the hospital, older folks and younger folks. Mm-hmm. So I've asked my mom to make sure that she's ready to get her COVID shot, her flu shot, and her RSV shot.
Perhaps you should use mom in some of the public service announcements.
I did in Maine from time to time.
Did you pay her? Because come on now. Did you take care of mom?
I absolutely take care of mom, and I made sure that we took her out to dinner.
That's it?
And, I mean, she was thrilled with that.
She's your mom.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'll do more.
Dr. Niroff Shah, the CDC's Principal Deputy Director, thank you so much for taking the time, coming on this program, giving folks information that they need. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
It's an honor. Thank you so much.